Hey, greetings, everybody. It is the Two in the Gospel, Don't Perish Gospel Van, Brother Tuposen,
right. Sister Amen,
coming to you today. We hope you're doing well.
Yeah.
We hope you have your eyes, heart, mind, soul set on the kingdom of God. If not, why not?
I was just going to say, where else do you want to be setting your eyes, and your mind, and your heart?
We're going to bring some thoughts to you and edify you today with the Word of God. It's all we really have. I guess we have some stories from the Gospel Road, and we show pictures and we tell some tales, but really the best thing and the main thing and the most awesome thing we have is the eternal truth of God's Word.
Right. Amen.
Yeah.
And we do it all because of Him.
Amen. Amen. So today we traveled down the road. We're headed out to go to our preach for this weekend. Mm-hmm. And Sister Amen, did we hand the gospel out all over today?
Oh, it went out.
Let's
all
see.
Over.
Where'd it go? Let's talk about it. Gas stations?
Yep.
Food stores?
Yep.
Rest stops?
Yeah.
Thrift stores?
Right.
Farmer's market?
Right.
Did I miss any?
No.
Several thrift stores?
Yeah.
And there a farmer's market?
Multiples in both the gas stations and stuff. And also, I had quite a few one-on-one conversations with women.
Yeah.
Not real long, but enough to where I was able to give them some warning, some encouragement.
Yeah. We have a video coming up on our little farmer's market witnessing that we did, and we will post that maybe tomorrow. And later in this audio, I'm going to talk about the different kind of witnessing. That's why we listed them there. And also, Jesus said, it's not prideful. Men will say, oh, it's prideful to tell what you do. Actually not. Jesus said, let your good works be seen before men so that it may glorify your Father in heaven. So that's why we let people know the gospel's going out, because Jesus said we should do it. And so that's why we proclaim it. It edifies people, encourages people. We'll talk about that a little bit more as we get going on this audio we're doing for you today. I want to talk about first, right off the bat, ready? Walking on solid ground. Do you know why I want to talk about that, Sister Amen?
Probably for several reasons.
Well, I have a good reason. My hiking shoes got worn out. I mean, they were like, the soles of them were like paper. So if I stepped on a rock that had any kind of size, I could feel it through my shoe.
We have a habit of doing that. We wear them until our feet are almost touching.
Oh yeah,
the
we
ground.
Wear our shoes out. And I got some new used shoes today. New used shoes.
They call them newsed.
Newsed. I went to, the other day, Sister Amen went into a grocery store. When she came out, I said, I'm going to go into that shoe store over there. I haven't been in a shoe store in years. I walked in a shoe store, I almost fainted. I mean, a decent, you can go to Walmart and buy really crummy hikers that last about a month or two for $40. I get it. You go into the shoe store, a decent pair of hiking shoes are $150. I almost fainted.
Wow.
$150. I didn't see any under $125. It was it wasn't a fancy shoe store. It was just a regular family shoe store.
Yeah.
So I said, I ain't spending. I got $100, but I ain't spending $100 on a pair of hiking shoes. So we were hitting thrift stores, and I was looking around, and today I found a brand new pair of Outback hiking shoes. They're like a combination hike shoe, walking shoe, hiker. And like almost brand new. And we got them in a bag, on a bag sale.
Oh, yeah.
What all went in the bag, Sister Amen?
I think either three or four pairs of pants.
I got four pairs of pants.
And a big shirt for like a work shirt.
Yep, I got a new work shirt.
Trying to think. A pair of socks.
A couple items got thrown in for Sister Amen.
Yeah.
And my shoes went in the bag. And how much was the bag, Sister Amen?
$6.
So we got all that for $6. And I'm going back to my walking on firm foundation. Let's go back to that. Walking in these new shoes, it's like, wow, I got a firm foundation under my feet now.
Right.
I don't feel the rocks or nothing. And I was thinking about the foundations in our life. 1 Corinthians 3:11. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. So, I don't know. Today I'm just walking in these new used shoes. And I'm like, wow, this is awesome. I got like a half inch of sole under me versus just a little bit of rubber. And I picked up my old hikers and I literally could almost put my finger through them.
Oh, yeah, right, yeah.
And I was thinking about how walking in Christ, on a firm foundation of the gospel, the word of God, and the spirit, how uplifting that is. So the shoes are just a physical thing. Nice to have, no doubt. But the spiritual thing of walking in Christ, being born of him by the gospel and that firm foundation, it's glorious. So I don't know.
Solid.
I was just thinking about firm foundations today.
Can I add a scripture verse to what we were just talking about here?
Sure. You can always add a scripture verse.
This is what I mentioned to you when you said, what do you think about these for street preaching? And I gave you the reference of Ephesians 6:15, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace.
Yeah, amen.
It just kind of made me think of that.
And there's a verse in Romans, too, that talks about blessed are the feet that bring the gospel, something along those lines.
Yeah, I love that.
I think that's Romans 10. But yeah, so that was awesome. So I'm really thankful for that. The Father provided, and we like doing frugal things like that because we don't want to waste the Father's resources. We want to have it ready to help other people, and we also don't want people to ever have to support us in our endeavor. So that's the kind of stuff we do. So I could have dropped $150 and bought a brand new pair of hikers, but instead $6 and I got hikers, I got pants, we got all this stuff. So that's how we like to do things, and the Father provides for us.
Right, amen. It's a good example to help other people, too.
Yeah, amen. Mm-hmm. We teach everyone that. We live it, and we teach it to people. Why would you spend that much money when you can spend a lot less? It's just being a good steward of what God gave you, time, money, resources, everything.
Right.
Sister Amin, what's on your heart and mind today? I got a bunch of other things to share, but what's on your heart and mind?
Actually, I have a question for you.
A question?
From a sister soldier saint.
Uh-oh.
Yeah,
let me get my question mind on. Okay, I'm ready.
She asked if a Christian should participate in jury duty. That's what it was.
Oh, jury duty. Yeah, that's a tough one. You know, that's hard to be totally dogmatic on, meaning saying absolutely yes, absolutely no. But I'll tell you that I experienced a call to jury duty, and I wrote on the paperwork that I was a born-again believer, and I wasn't interested in taking any kind of oaths or promises or anything in the court of law, and boop, they dismissed me very quickly.
They did the same with me, too.
Yep. And Sister Amin did the same thing, so that's how we got out of it. I would say that it would be very difficult for a true born-again child of God to go do that, because they're going to ask you to swear an oath. And depending upon your feelings about that, I personally am not comfortable with that.
Mm-mm.
And then also, the Bible tells us to not be of the world, and that's a worldly system that's going on there. And there could be things that go on there would cause you to either grieve or be compromised or be part of things that may not be a good thing. Let me give you an example. Jury duties, a lot of times, like you go in there, and if 11 people say guilty and you say innocent, they'll spend days just hammering on that person to try to get you to change your conviction. It could cause a lot of problems for you. I don't see that a Christian should step into the worldly systems. Romans 12 says, do not be conformed to the world. I know God gave government, but we see how much corruption there is in trials and all that. I would say that a Christian should do their best to tell them, I'm a Christian, I won't give an oath, I'm really not interested in doing that, and opt out of that. And that keeps you, it makes me think of the scripture verse in Timothy where Paul says, what soldier entangles himself in the affairs of the world so that he may please the one that's called him? So we're here to please Christ. We don't get entangled in the affairs of the world. I wouldn't say it's definitely sinful, but I would say it would be smart and prudent and wise for a true believer to avoid jury duty. It's just another encumbrance of the world encroaching in on you that I think you should avoid.
Right. And you're right.
That makes sense?
Yeah. The way they hammer on you, I've been through some court things in the business world 4 hours straight of being grilled about certain lawsuits and stuff. And by the time you're done, It's insane, yeah.
Yeah, and another thing just hit me, too. What if you go to jury duty and you're going to be on something like a rape trial, and you're going to be confronted with all kinds of things that could be very disgusting and violent and things that you just don't want to fill your heart and your mind with? A murder trial.
And then making decisions on somebody's life or death.
Yeah. And you could be on a murder trial and be looking at pictures of dead bodies and blood, and it's like, I'm not so sure that I'm convinced that a Christian shouldn't be doing that. So that's something each person, I wouldn't lord over anybody I was united to about that, but I would really counsel them to think deeply about that.
Right.
I think it gets you too close to the world, especially when you don't have to do it.
Exactly.
You don't.
There is a choice.
There is an out. You can get the faith exemption and get yourself out of it, and I think that would be the smart thing to do.
Right. Yep. Good answer.
I think so. I think that the Word of God always gives us the best answer.
The best direction and answers. Yes. Amen.
What else on your heart and mind, Sister Drummond? Anything you want to start out with, share?
Well, I have a scripture to share at the end, and then I think I have a scripture to go along with something you're going to say, but you got quite a bit.
I got some points we're going to talk about together.
Yeah, let's do that.
Why don't we talk about a brother? I thought this was kind of interesting. We're on a video call, a bunch of people, and a brother said, "That's interesting." He said, "We've all lost our families for Christ." And I didn't even think about that. I was like, whoa, he's right. Mother, father, son, brother, sisters. Mm-hmm. And I wanted to talk about that. Losing your life for Christ, Matthew 10. He also says in Matthew 10 that he's going to come to divide and separate. Mm-hmm. Mothers, daughters, fathers, sons, all that stuff. And that is the cost of following Christ, because you can't come as a family. Everybody has to come as individuals. We've never heard of anybody where everybody comes. It's usually individuals.
Right.
One or two come and everybody else says no.
Right.
They stay in the world or they stay in the church systems. And I wanted to just share with you that Jesus talked about a couple scripture verses. Jesus talked about no looking back in Luke 9:62. So kind of when this happens and you move forward with Christ, and if you're looking back at your family, your mom, your dad, your brothers, your sisters, whatever, you're looking back. Jesus says you're not fit for the kingdom.
No.
And he had some harsh words for people like that. He talked about letting the dead bury the dead. He talked about let the blind lead the blind. And so if you're not all in for Christ, you're not in for Christ, and we're supposed to move on. We witness the gospel to them. We're there for them if they repent, but we're not supposed to lament over them. I want to read a verse. Go read Matthew 10, first of all. In fact, hey, Sister Drummond, real quick. Today we witnessed to a couple in a thrift store. You witnessed to the lady, then she introduced me to her husband. We talked to him. And did you hear what the first thing that he said?
The first thing he said,
what did he say?
Jesus didn't come to bring peace. He came to bring a sword and divide.
Yeah.
We didn't even know these people.
Yeah.
I'd witnessed to his wife for a few minutes.
Yep.
And then she called him over. She's like, hey, come on over
yep.
here.
Yeah, he said Jesus came to bring a sword and divide.
Yeah.
And I got to witness to him, and he said he was going to be on our website and I might hear from him. So that was awesome. So yeah, go read Matthew 10. And then I wanted to read this to you. This goes back to the Old Testament where God killed two priests for bringing strange fire. Yeah, you shouldn't bring worship that you invent. It should be worship that God ordains. But Leviticus 10:6, and Moses said unto Aaron and unto Eleazar and unto Ithamar, his sons, uncover not your heads, neither rend your clothes, lest ye die, lest wrath come upon all the people. But let your brethren, the whole house of Israel, bewail the burning which the Lord hath kindled. Men brought strange fire, and God killed them dead. And here they're told, don't you lament over them. You should be lamenting that God had to do it, is basically what he was saying. And they brought strange fire, kind of like people bringing Christmas and Easter. Those are false ways to worship. God killed two men for that. And they're told, their relatives and their brethren are told, don't you mourn for them.
Right.
And I think you got a verse to share too about that.
Yeah, actually, in Ezekiel 24, I was going to read 15 to 18 and then skip some of it down to verse 23. You can read the whole thing. Also the word of the Lord came unto me, saying, Son of man, behold, I take away from thee the desire of thine eyes with a stroke. Yet neither shalt you mourn nor weep, neither shall thy tears run down. Forbear to cry, making no mourning for the dead. Bind the tire on thy head upon thee, and put thy shoes upon thy feet, and cover not thy lips, and eat not the bread of men. So I spake unto the people in the morning, and at evening my wife died, and I did in the morning as I was commanded. And then I want to skip down to 23, because it goes through some of the same things on there. And your tires shall be upon your heads, and your shoes upon your feet. You shall not mourn nor weep, but you shall pine away for your iniquities and mourn one toward another.
Yeah. Yeah.
So it goes along with what you were saying, how we're not, we're to pine away for what we have done in iniquities, not for wicked people who have died. Because I've told sisters that it makes God look like maybe he was unjust.
Yeah, like we think he's wrong. Yeah, this is part of our reasonable service to follow Christ. We know very few are going to come. So if you got a whole bunch of people in your family, mother, father, brothers, sisters, uncles, aunts, friends, all that stuff, you know most, you know hardly any of them. Probably none of them are going to come. You know what else it makes me think of? David when his son died.
Yeah.
David, right. When his son died, he was mourning before he died, fasting and all that. Yep. And then he died, and it says he basically, like, I'm paraphrasing, cleaned himself up, and they were like, hey, aren't you going to lament? And he's like, hey, what can I do? Is lamenting going to get me to go be with him? Because he knew God had judged him because of his sin and took his firstborn son from him.
Yeah, I'm sure there's many more examples. Yep.
And so, yeah, that's just another one of those. So wanted to talk about that. If you've suffered the loss of family, praise God that you were called out. Praise God that you were able to be a light to them to show the difference between the world and churchianity and the wrath that's coming and a person that's walking in redemption. So don't lament. Don't mourn over that. Gird up your loins. Toughen up. Quick ye. Be like men, as the verse says. And get going, because the kingdom of God is not about looking back about the people that are God's enemies and the people don't want to serve them. Kingdom of God is about serving Christ, going forward, preaching the gospel forward as we go.
Right. Amen. And it's not just the death of people we're talking about. It's the loss of them being participating in your life. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. The loss.
I just want to clarify that. Yeah.
These were like deaths, but yeah, yeah, the loss, which is kind of a death.
Oh yeah.
Think about it. You've got to think about it. We know a brother that had a mom and a dad just last week. Today, the mom and dad, or not today, a couple days ago, the mom and dad decided they're not going to follow after Christ and obey. They're going their own way. It's like a death. He now has not a mother and a father in his life anymore. They're dead to him.
Yeah, exactly.
They're dead to him.
And we can't be mourning over that.
Can't be mourning. He must go on for God's glory, knowing that that is how God sets us apart, makes us holy, and sanctifies us to himself. Holding on to the people of the world, we're not going to be holding on to Christ.
No.
Makes sense?
Right, yeah. Exactly.
I know a young brother, too, that left his mother and father same way. They're now dead to him.
Right.
And he's moving on in his new life without them. And that brings glory to God. And the power of the Spirit gives us the ability to do that if we don't walk in the flesh. If we walk in his Spirit, we can do it. We walk in the flesh, we're going to be looking back, we're going to be crying, we're going to be moaning, we're going to be grumbling, we're going to be wishing they were with us. That's all flesh.
Right.
You should desire to be with God and God's people.
Amen.
That's your new family.
Right, it is.
And that's your family eternally as well. So think about that. We hope that if you've suffered that loss, you have the right heart and a right mind for it, for the glory of God. Go read Matthew 10. And I've got all kinds of articles on the teaching blog about biblical separation. Next topic I want to talk about, Sister Amen, is wandering through the world. Did you wander through the world before you were a Christian? Wandering through the world, looking for entertainment, looking for things in the world. Did you do that?
I did.
I sure did. Yeah. And we know people that have confessed that, yep, they just were kind of wandering through the world in their life and just looking for things and kind of partaking up the things of the world.
Right.
And guess what happens when you become a Christian? Now you are changed in your heart and your mind, and now you no longer want to partake in what the world does. But guess what? Are we supposed to hide from the world?
No, we have a different purpose when we go out and we're wandering around. It's wandering around to go fishing, be fishers of men.
And technically, we don't even wander now. Technically, we go with a purpose.
Well, yeah, I was kind of using the word. Yep. Yeah, we absolutely do.
Before, we did wander. We're just like, hey, what's that? What's this? Hey, I'll try that. I'll do this. We were without a cause, and we were just led by our flesh and sin. Now, we have a directive from our commander to go preach the gospel. And so I just want to encourage saints that when you go out in the world, you're not there to be entertained. You're not there to please your flesh. You're not there to look and see what is around. You're to go and be a representation for Christ. You're to go and look to make contact with people. You're to go to glorify God and preach the gospel and look for sheep, right?
Oh, yeah.
Mark 16:15, and he said to them, go into all the world and preach the gospel to every creature. That's why we go. Unless you're going to buy food, or you're going to work, or you're getting some gas, even then you should be looking to witness. But when we go in the world, that's what we're going to do, is to serve Christ.
Right. I was just going to say that my mindset as I've grown in the Lord is when I go to the grocery store, it's not groceries first. It's I'm going to witness.
Amen.
The gospel's going out one way or another.
And you'll get some groceries while you're there.
Yep. And then I'm going to get some groceries while I'm there. Same with thrift stores, yep. Gas stations, anywhere.
Yeah. We go with what's the word I'm looking for? Diligence.
Purpose.
But we go with a intentional. We go intentional. We're intentionally going in there to do that. And these other worldly causes are secondary.
Right.
And also Matthew 28:19-20. Go ye therefore and teach all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, Son, and the Holy Ghost, teaching them to observe all things whatsoever I have commanded you. And lo, I'm with you even unto the end of the world. Amen. So yeah, think about that. We all drifted through the world, entertaining ourselves, hobbies, sports, politics, pride, vanity, lust of the flesh, pride of life. Now we go with a purpose for Christ.
I love that.
Train yourself, saints. Whenever you go out in the world, no matter what you're doing, it should be with gospel cards in hand, ready to share, ready to tell the truth, ready to look for people that might be sheep, and just to send the word forth to glorify your Father in heaven.
Right.
You want to be diligent about it. Guard your eyes, no doubt. Guard your mind, no doubt. Redeem the time. All those things you got to do.
Yep.
But we are his workers out in the world. We're not our own. We're purchased with a price. So we're to be workers, tools, vessels for his good purpose. We're made for good work. So let us go forth into the world and do those things.
Right. In Ephesians 4:12, the body of Christ isn't just sitting around eating, drinking,
no.
Having bonfires. It's for edification and training up the saints for ministry.
Yep. Amen. Amen. And so hopefully grasp that when you're in the world. Do it with purpose. And if you're not in the world for a purpose, and the purpose isn't preaching the gospel, you definitely need to pray about that and mm-hmm. figure out what is your ministry, how you can better use your time and your resources, because you're there and you should be shining the light of Christ. He said we're salt. He said we're light. And so we're to lift up Christ, and that's our purpose and that's our job while we're here on earth.
Right. And we were kind of talking today, you know, outside of all the duties that you have to do, like in work, if you have like a job,
right,
or you're raising children, you're taking care of your house, we all have X amount of hours a day that we work,
yeah,
no matter what it is that we do.
Yeah.
And almost all of us have some extra time after that.
Yep.
And how much of that time is given to the ministry? If
right.
people were to sit there and examine that,
yep.
How much of that extra time over and above all the duties that you have to physically do, sisters,
yep.
are you spending in ministry?
Your ministry, whatever your ministry God's called you to.
Or email, yeah. or writing letters,
yep.
or, you know.
Praying.
Yeah, whatever,
yeah, studying,
it is that you're doing, yeah.
Yeah, whatever is set for the kingdom of God. I want to tell a quick story. I'm really encouraged when I hear about a young sister with children who lives in a big city, we just heard about this, mm-hmm. and takes the children on a walk, on walks daily on a nature trail,
yep.
but it's a nature trail. They live right in the big city. It's not
yeah.
really a nature trail. It's a walking trail in the
yeah.
big city. And I thought it was really interesting. They said one of the benefits of living in a big city, it was like a million people.
Yeah.
They said, you meet a Hindu. You meet a person from Africa.
I love it.
You
yeah.
meet a Chinese person. You meet an atheist. You meet some worldly Christians. You meet just a regular person that doesn't even go to church and doesn't even believe in God or anything. And they
right.
and they hand out, I thought this was interesting, these two saints, husband and wife, said they hand out almost as many gospel cards on this hiking trail as they do when they go to a big event and he street preaches.
Right.
Just one-on-one, and we're going to talk a little bit about that next, about
oh, okay, yeah.
how to witness. So that's a good lead-in.
Yeah, we've seen some of that, too.
Yeah, so yeah, that's a good thing. So making the use of living in a big city, all different kinds of people from all over the world, there you go.
Oh, yeah.
Think about that. He said, go preach the gospel all over the world. Well, if you're talking to people that are from Africa and you're preaching the gospel to them, if they're affected with the gospel, they're going to go tell everybody they know in Africa about the gospel.
Right?
And same thing
yeah.
with the Chinese lady. She's going to tell people, so you can preach to the world, even in your backyard, if you're meeting people from all over the world.
Right.
Especially in a big city
and
setting.
And on the internet, too.
And
yeah.
with the internet that we have
yeah.
and stuff today. So that was really heartwarming to me to hear that, hear saints talk about that. And so that kind of leads us right into my next topic, and that is today we're talking about this. Different ways to witness the gospel. Remember, Sister Armin, we talked about this?
Mm-hmm.
So as you all know, if anybody that follows along with us, I'm a street preacher, so we go to big events, and I street preach. and Sister Rama's there, and maybe sometimes a brother, and we hand out gospel cards as we go. And then sometimes we go to smaller events and I street preach. Same thing. We hand out gospel cards. And then sometimes we go to real small events and we don't street preach. What do we do, Sister Amin?
Depending on what it is, like today at a farmer's market, yep. It wasn't very big. Walked up and down on each booth, and Brother Two Posts went to the one that had men. I went to the one that had women.
Yep.
And we gave gospel cards to everybody there, and I got to stand there and witness with some of the women who wanted to talk.
So, yeah. And so my point is, you might wonder, well, why does he go out and lift up his voice and street preach? Well, my Lord told me to. We're to preach the gospel. And so imagine you're in a place where there's 1,000 people standing there. Sister Amin and I can't go and talk individually to 1,000 people. They're going to be gone by the time we get done. By the time we get through 50 of them, a lot of those people are going to be gone.
I know.
So you lift up your voice to get the message across to any sheep that may be hearing about Christ, the gospel, prick their conscience. So that's why we street preach. Street preach is like to the masses. It's like a scattergun, a shotgun. You shoot it out there, and then you're looking to reach a sheep that might come and talk to you or reach out to you later, and then you focus on them. And then these other events where that are real small, and there's 20 people standing there in different booths, it would be foolish for me to start street preaching because they'd go, why is he street preaching? Why doesn't he just come talk to us?
Right.
So we just go up and we individually talk to people and do the same thing and give them the gospel, invite them. And then there's other days when we're just out in the world, like today, we do it one-on-one at gas stations, one-on-one in the street in the park, one-on-one in thrift stores. So the reason I want to talk about this is there's all different ways to witness the gospel. Mm-hmm. Whether you're a street preacher, we stand on a corner, we hold gospel signs.
Yeah.
We reach thousands of cars driving by, and people actually, believe
they,
it or not,
stop
and turn around and come back and talk to us.
We had one man, we were out west. Remember, it was like almost 100 degrees.
Yep.
It was hot and windy and sunny. And we're out there flying signs, and a young man drove. He drove all the way down, back all the way up the parking lot.
We watched him.
And it was all gated off, and he had to walk all the way around it to get to us. He had to work really hard to get out there to talk to us, and he was out there for maybe an hour talking to us.
So think about all the different ways to do ministry. You know, one-on-one with gospel cards, going to a small farmer's market to hand out a bunch of gospel cards, holding gospel signs on a corner. And then, of course, you can street preach. You can talk to people as they're walking by. There you go. Street preaching. You don't have to lift your voice up like me. Sister Amin does it. She talks to people as they're walking by. And she said, do you know the gospel to eternal life? Do you know the judgment's coming? Do you know Christ died for your sins and shed his blood for you, and you can find eternal life? Do you know you must be born again? And then I lift up my voice to reach more people. And so there's a lot of different ways that you can preach the gospel. And we see that in the Bible. Mm-hmm. Jesus was a street preacher, so was Paul, John the Baptist, Peter. They also witnessed one-on-one. Yeah. We don't see them holding signs, but that's okay. One of the reasons that we hold signs today is because we're in a graphic culture. There's signs everywhere.
Oh, yeah, it's okay
and
to have
so signs. So we're using what the culture uses. They didn't use, I don't think, many signs back then. So we're like we use the internet today. They obviously didn't have the internet back then. So think about all the different ways how you could witness.
Back then, the culture was a little bit different, too, because they didn't have all this media to use.
Right.
It was face-to-face.
So yeah, and they did a lot more talking. Yeah, they had city gates. Yeah, imagine this. Instead of news, instead of internet, instead of TV, radio, they had city gates, and the men would go to the city gate, and they'd all stand around and talk, and that's how the news was spread around.
Yeah.
So that's where you would go to evangelize people at the city gates and go talk to them, probably lift up your voice and preach to them. Now we do it on the internet. Now we do it at festivals. Now we do it outside religious buildings. And then we do it one-on-one.
Yeah.
So I just wanted to encourage you. And you're going to see a video where we walk through a little farmer's market. There was like 8 booths. It would look foolish for me to start street preaching with 8 booths. But we walked through, and actually you got some good produce at a really good deal. We supported them.
Phenomenal.
It was awesome.
Yeah.
And we handed out gospel cards, and we loved our neighbor. And then Sister Amin went back to get something else that she wanted to get, and I drove up. And it was funny. We were beeping and waving. One lady was waving to us as we were going. So there's all different ways to preach the gospel. So consider that in your life. And I'm going to be talking with my brothers about what's your ministry.
Yeah.
That's really critical. Because you know what? Even if you're ready, you might think, well, bro, you know, Brother Tupos, you've been in ministry so long, you've got an established ministry. Yeah, I get it. I've been at it longer. Doesn't matter. If you're born again, and you know the gospel, you need to be like Apollos. You need to be ready to tell people just what you know. And everybody can have a ministry. Your ministry in the first 6 months of your Christian life will look different than your ministry at 15 years. Right. I get it, but you should have a ministry.
Oh, yeah.
And the example I would give you is if you're a young man and you're born again and you have a job and you say, well, I'm not called to be a street preacher. I'm not ready. I'm not gifted. I'm a brand new believer. I'm still studying the word. Okay. We get you a good gospel card. Don't buy them. Make a gospel card. I don't know where you can buy any biblical ones. Make your own. And then I encourage young men to go walk down busy places where there's stores that aren't going to stumble him. I get it. Watch out for that. But go in and out of stores. Go into parks. And go and talk to people. There's a novel idea. Hey, how are you today, sir? What a beautiful day it is. And see if there's people that God will put in your path. Now, if you walk up to somebody, you're walking by, and you say, hey, how are you today? And they go, fine. And you go, beautiful day, huh? And they go, yeah, whatever. Okay, that's probably not somebody that wants the gospel. Maybe they don't want to talk. They're like, leave me alone. But you would be amazed at the people that we engage by just saying, how are you today? And they're like, I'm doing fine. And they're almost like surprised somebody asked them. They're like, I'm fine. How are you? And you're like, wow, we're doing great. Oh, it's a beautiful day today. And it opens the door and then boom, the gospel comes out.
Right.
And 99% of the times they take it and they thank us.
Right. And being genuine. And we talked about this, blessing people with words.
Yep. And ready? You want an example of that? We pulled up at a gas station today. You maybe didn't even see this one. Maybe you did. I pulled up to a gas station. I wanted to go inside and get some ice. And there's a young man emptying garbage cans.
Mm-hmm, I saw
and he
him,
had
yeah.
a go-kart or a golf cart.
Mm-hmm.
And I walked up to him and I walked right up to him. And I said, how are you, young man? And he looked at me. He goes, I'm fine, sir. How are you? I said, you look like you're working hard. He goes, yeah, I am. I said, here, this is for you. And I gave him a gospel card. He goes, what is it? I said, it's the gospel to eternal life. And I stood there for about 10 seconds and I said, Jesus Christ came into the world to die for you, to make a way for you to have eternal life. But the churches and the culture are lying to you, young man. I'm here to tell you the truth. You need to repent and be born again. My website's there to help you. Check this out. Check the resources. Check the gospel. I know you're working. My email's on there. 10 seconds. He looked at it. He goes, thank you so much. He goes, I'll read this on my break. I really appreciate it. Right
yeah.
there. Just making contact. Anyone can have that kind of ministry. Anyone can hand out cards. Anyone can hold gospel signs.
Oh, yeah.
Anyone can just talk to people. So
I was going to share today real quick.
As yeah, one of yours, maybe.
To the farmer's market.
Yeah.
Remember that woman with the little girl that was sitting there by
yes,
all the flowers?
Yes, by the flowers.
And I made a point to say hi to her. How you doing? Beautiful flowers. She said, yeah. And we were headed off, and it wasn't right. Well, her and the little, must have been a granddaughter, was walking through as we were leaving the farmer's market. And I saw they were headed over to a little thing of flowers. So I kind of lingered, and Brother Two Posts walked down the road a little ways.
Yeah.
And I was like looking at him, and the little girl came up before the grandma. I was like, aren't they beautiful flowers? And she said, yeah. And the grandma came up and I opened up the door, gave her a gospel card,
yep.
warned her about man-made religion. And like you did, you know, yeah. a 10, 15 second
planting
kind
seeds.
Of thing. Actually, I think I might've had a couple minutes with her.
Yeah, you did. You were there a couple minutes.
Yeah.
yeah.
So that was awesome. I purposely set it up that way and
yep.
to see if the door would open and
yeah.
you just be... Look people in the eyes. You know, I was thinking about that too. You know, shamefaced for women, it says downcast eyes and bashful, doesn't mean that you can't look at a man and share the gospel with him.
Right.
Like if he comes out to talk to you.
Yeah, that's talking about like wantonness and all that.
Exactly, yeah. And so that could happen in the store, not that you want to hang and linger. But one thing that women, especially if they don't get out in the world very much, look people in the eye, especially women, and speak up so
right.
they can hear you. And do it with love
yep.
and boldness and authority. Hi,
yeah.
how are you today? How's
yeah.
your day going? It's a beautiful day out, isn't it?
Yeah, let the joy of the Lord shine forth.
Exactly.
Because think about Matthew 22. We're supposed to love the Lord thy God with all our heart, soul, mind, and strength. Mark adds strength, I believe. And then think about the second command. Love your neighbors yourself.
Yeah.
If you were dying and going to hell, would you want someone to come up and tell you the truth and love you enough? So if we love our neighbor, we can't be fearful to go up and talk to them. Yep, you're going to get some rejection. But you know what?
Oh, well.
We can't let that bother us. And so there's no reason, I believe this, there's no reason any saint that's born of God can't, at the very minimum, hand out gospel cards and talk the rudimentaries of the gospel. And if you need help with questions that people ask, send them to me. tell them, say, go to my brother. He'd be happy to help you. I don't know the answer to that. I'm brand new.
Yeah.
I don't really teach. Nobody has an excuse. We're here to help you. And so, yeah, just want to encourage you. Many ways that the gospel can go out, and we do them all different ways. We're not just street preachers and doing big events. We, in fact, every day, we only street preach big events when we can find them and get to them. Every day, we're one-on-one or with multiple people handing out the gospel and talking to people.
Like today, we probably handed out and talked to more people than some of the events we've been at.
Yeah, I would say total today, we definitely talked to more people and handed out gospel cards than we would at maybe a medium-sized event. We get a good big event, we get quite a few people to talk to. But
depending on what
yeah,
it is.
But yeah, absolutely. It's very effective. Very effective. And one of the sad things about our culture, real quick, our culture has more means to communicate. Internet, email, text, Facebook, Twitter, all this stuff. And guess what? We're getting worse at communicating one-on-one all the time. And so it's good for us to get out in the world and see people face-to-face and communicate the gospel and let people see that you care for them, that you brought a gospel card, that you went to the grocery store and you're not just thinking of food, that you actually care for their soul and you wanted to hand them the eternal word of God, and most of all, you wanted to glorify God. That's what it's got to be about. And if that's not in your heart and you're claiming to be born again, you better pray to God and say, Father, give me the joy, the courage, the strength, the fervor, the zeal to at least tell people about you in the very minimum way that I can, whoever I am. And so ask the Father to do that, and He will. He'll open the door for you. Don't think it's all up to guys like Brother Tupos, he's a street preacher, or this guy does that, all that. No, no, it's all of our job.
Oh, yeah.
We're all supposed to be ministers of the Word. All that means is we're administering the Word to other people.
Right.
So think about that. And what it says in Romans 10, go read Romans 10. It talks about, Paul talks about, you know, the good tidings of bringing the gospel. But he talks about how to hear without a preacher.
Oh, I know.
And so a preacher doesn't have to be a street preacher or a teacher. A preacher can be someone that just, when we talk about lifting up your voice, it basically means saying the things of God.
Yeah.
So you don't have to say it like this. You could say, hey, I want to give you a gospel card. I care for your soul, neighbor. I love you, neighbor.
Yeah.
I love you, neighbor. Maybe you've seen, you know, love will dissuade a lot of problems.
Mm-hmm.
Maybe you've seen the street preaching videos where I get these really nasty looking men in my face. I had one the other day. He's covered with tattoos and he's looking at me. He's like, get out of here. And I said, sir, I'm not going anywhere. And I looked at him and I said, he was close to me. He's like right in my face. I said, I love you, sir. I said, why are you in your flesh? I love you. And he's like, and I told Sister Amma, and I said, even if they're wicked and evil, it's really hard to keep hating on somebody that tells you, man, I love you.
Yeah.
Now, if I said, I hate you, get away from me, well, that would just stoke his anger.
Right.
But when you say, I love you, and so use some words, reach out to people, give them a gospel card, and glorify God in all your members.
Yeah, and also, share the joy of the Lord.
Yes.
In your countenance.
Yes.
In your speech.
Yeah.
In your voice.
Yeah.
And it's kind of, it's one of those things, it's almost infectious.
You know, it is.
You get a cash register woman that seems kind of crabby and down.
Yep.
Don't shy away from it.
Right.
Step into it, offer a gospel card, and oftentimes they smile. If they get angry, too bad.
Another example today, Sister Amin says, let's go to this wayside. Can we pull over to that wayside? I think it's by a big rock. I said, good idea, and we'll put gospel cards out.
Uh-huh.
We go there. We made a video of it. It's up on our post.
Yep.
I made a video about being not of the world and resting in Christ, and you'll see this beautiful rock and this beautiful walking place. Well, Sister Amin's walking up the stairs. You'll see the video. Go look at the link. And I turn, and there's a man with his wife, and they had a trailer and a little like blazer, and he was standing there, she was walking the dogs, and he was kind of a rough-looking guy, looked like a biker or something, but he was driving a car, and I said, hello there, and he said, hi, and he just kind of looked away, and I thought, okay, you know, some people see how I dress, or they might see our gospel signs.
They saw our van,
Yep, saw our van, they want nothing to do with us, and I thought, okay, no open door there. Well, Sister Amin went up there, I walked up to the rock, we're walking around, we put our gospel cards out, I saw their hood was open on their car.
Yeah.
Now, I could have said, nah, he looks kind of grabby and grouchy, I'm going to just walk away. I walked up and I said, you folks need some help. And he said, oh, no, no, the light came on in the code. The service engine light came on. I'm just letting it rest. So I looked under hood. Sister Amma talked to the lady for a little while. I looked under the hood with him, gave him some pointers of what I thought. We checked the oil and everything. He goes, yeah, I'm just going to let it cool down. I don't have far to go. And I said, oh, that's good. And we talked a little bit. And he liked our van a lot. And I said, can I give you this? And he said, what's that? I said, I'm a traveling preacher. That's what we came to this wayside to do, was give out gospel cards. I said, you need to get one. And I quickly explained the gospel to him. I warned him about the churches and the culture that are deceiving him. And I said, you have to be born again, come out of the world like I had to come out. I said, check out my website sometime. And he's like, well, thanks a lot. He goes, I really appreciate this.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, hey, I love you, neighbor. And I said, hope you make it home safe. And we left. So that's a good example of, he looked like a closed door, but I let the Spirit of God open it up, and I walked right through. Yeah, he could have said, get away from me with that. I don't want that. And I would have said, okay, sir, I'll leave you be. That's okay. Put myself out there for the Lord.
Right.
He died for me. I can put myself out for him.
I know, exactly.
Yeah. So hopefully all these things will edify you and see that you can do this too.
Yeah.
And be led by the Spirit as you do it, and I think you'll see that it's quite a blessing in your own life. Last thought on this, you're filling yourself up with the Word of God. You're studying the Word of God. You're praying. Guess what? When you're all filled up, you know what you got to do? You got to go out and pour it out to other people, whether it's to brothers and sisters online, or yeah, you pour it out when you pray, but go out and share it with somebody, and then God keeps filling you up again.
Oh, yeah.
You don't want to become stale and stagnant. You want to keep pouring out
to
other people. So yeah, hopefully that'll edify you. Anything else, Sister Amin? We've talked a lot about a lot of stuff. Anything else?
Did.
I think you have a scripture verse to share.
I do. Hold on one second.
Sister Amin and I never run out of things to say.
No.
We're always talking about the Lord, so we always have things to say.
Well, we're in good practice out on the streets. We're always talking. So, Proverbs 3:13-15. Happy is the man that findeth wisdom, and the man that getteth understanding. For the merchandise of it is better than the merchandise of silver, and the gain thereof than fine gold. She is more precious than rubies, and all the things thou canst desire are not to be compared unto her.
I love that. You know what I love about Scripture? It's all over. I love how Scripture is always comparing the riches of the world to the riches of eternity.
Right.
And if we would do that in our own lives more often, yeah, you got to work, you got to have money, you got to buy things, you got to, you know, do things. I get it. But it's what you're really seeking after, what you put your value on,
your
focus
mind,
on,
your
energy, your attention.
Yeah.
I love how it's always talking about the, I love this. I love the street preaches, the corruptible, which is everything in this world versus the incorruptible that's coming.
Right.
The eternal things of God. So
praise
that's
God.
A great verse. Thanks for sharing it, Sister Amin. Any other thoughts before I share our last scripture verse?
No, I think we said a lot tonight.
So what do? We up on our post, we've got our video of the rock that we did. We've got travel video.
Yeah.
Little travel video.
Oh yeah, I can't remember what's even up there.
I think we have a travel video up there. We have the video of the rock, and oh, you have a picture of your produce take that you got. Sister Amin got a whole bunch of produce from that little farmstead at like
incredible prices.
Oh yeah, like a quarter of what you would pay in the store.
Oh yeah, definitely.
Or less,
maybe.
I don't know.
It was pretty awesome, and it all tasted.
And you
like
cooked it up
came
tonight. It was
from
delicious.
A garden.
Yeah, those. She got tomatoes that taste like they come from a garden. You buy a tomato at Walmart, it tastes like a tomato from Walmart. You buy a tomato from somebody who grew it in their backyard, it tastes like a tomato.
That's why I went back and got some more.
Yeah, yeah. So
I ate one as we were walking away. I was like, I want to go back and get a few more. It was so.
So look at that. Look at how we were blessed by going out and witnessing, and the Father provides for us good, healthy food.
Oh, right, yeah.
I love that.
Praise God.
I love that. All right, I have one last scripture verse I want to share. Mm-hmm. How about something, hopefully this has all been encouraging, but how about something really encouraging, Sister Amin?
All right.
You want something really encouraging?
I love it, yeah.
Really, really encouraging?
Really, really, uh-huh.
Romans 8:31-34. What shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He that spared not his own son, but delivered him up for us all, how shall he not with him also freely give us all things? Who shall lay anything to the charge of God's elect? It is God that justifieth. Who is he that condemneth? It is Christ that died, yea, rather, that is risen again, who is even at the right hand of God, who also maketh intercession for us. If that don't lift up your soul and your spirit today,
that makes me want to go out right now.
You may be dead already, and you wouldn't be listening if you were dead already. Hopefully that encourages you.
Right.
You could be spiritually dead. you seekers need to repent and seek after Christ. Be filled with the Spirit of God and walk after this glorious Savior.
Right. And you seekers that are listening, I hope we get to run into you on the streets.
Yeah.
We'll share the gospel with you. And absolutely. We'll call you to repentance.
Yeah, you better watch out. If I run into you in the streets, you're getting the gospel right there. I'm telling you right now.
We'll bless you with it and hope it will convict you.
Amen. Amen. All right. We're out of here. Thanks for listening. We love you all. Set your eyes upon this glorious Savior. He shed his blood for you. He rose again. He's coming back in flaming fire. He's going to get his elect, and he's going to judge and destroy everyone and everything else. Make sure whatever you're living for is what Christ is coming back for. Otherwise, he's going to destroy it all. Politics, sports, entertainment, churchianity, pride, vanity, the culture. Right. He's going to destroy all of that. Make sure you're living for the incorruptible.
Amen.
We hope that bless you no matter where you are, no matter what time it is,
yep.
Morning, afternoon, evening, or no matter where you are, up there, down there, north, south, east, west. We know people all over the world. That's crazy to think about.
We do,
That's such a blessing.
Yeah.
I think about how far away the gospel and the edification travels, people all the way on the other side of the earth.
Oh, yeah.
But God just uses us, and we're just vessels. That's it.
Amen.
We're just tools.
Nothing without him.
Yep, we're nothing without him. So we're thankful for that, and we're thankful for all the precious saints we know, and we love you all. Till next time, go out and have a glorious day.
May God be praised.